Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
If you had Oklahoma City coming back from a 3-1 deficit in their opening round playoff series inspired by Paul George and a monster start to the game, if you thought that was going to play out, you are a loser. You get nothing because the Oklahoma City Thunder are finito. They are done in the NBA playoffs, and I've never cared much about the Oklahoma City Thunder, but I do have some schadenfreude. I really do enjoy watching Russell Wilson, who's such a sourpuss. Or what is it? Russell Wilson? Russell Westbrook. When I see Russell on the mind. Russell Westbrook. When I watch Russell Westbrook, and I guess apparently he didn't talk after the game. I don't know. As of about 10 minutes ago, he hadn't spoken after the game. But Westbrook, when I see him, who got off to a pretty good start, right? Pretty good start. I was in a text conversation with somebody I used to work with in radio. We're going back and forth, and we're like, well, you know, Westbrook's playing pretty well. And the guy's like, you can't rip Westbrook. He's having a good game, because at halftime it was a close game. Westbrook, although he wasn't shooting the ball particularly well, you're like, it's okay. Everything's all right. But sure enough, by the end of the game, Russell Westbrook had just disappeared. We'll get to that in a minute, but congratulations to Damian Lillard, who was already a superstar, but this is his signature moment now as an NBA player. It's the first round of the playoffs, right? I was told back in the glory days of the Clippers that you can't have your signature moment in the first round of the playoffs. That's one of the rules. So I guess you really can't say that's the signature moment because it's the first round of the playoffs. But it was an amazing performance by Lillard, who the final stat line, which people are going gaga for, Damian Lillard ended up putting up a total of 50 points. But it's the final shot of the game that was the cherry on top of the sundae. It was the magnum opus for Damian Lillard. The work of art was complete, and here's how it sounded.
Dame into the front court, 10 seconds. Lillard now in front against George, 5 seconds. George backing up, Lillard doesn't want to pick. Dame going for the win, a three-pointer for the game.
Damian Lillard there with the game winner, the great Brian Wheeler. Boom shakalaka on Blazers radio with the call. So the shot from about 40 feet, give or take, 37 feet, 38 feet, who the hell knows. But Damian Lillard, it was right parallel to the Moda Center logo on the court. You know how you go to an NBA arena, you watch a game on TV, they have the logo for the arena kind of near midcourt, and Lillard was a couple feet above that, and he knocked it down. And then, in classic showmanship, waved goodbye to the annoying Nats from Oklahoma City. Said, bye-bye! Get out of here! Bye-bye! But that's how it all went down. So the Blazers move on. They'll play the winner of San Antonio and Denver, which now looks like it's going to be Denver, but there's still some work to be done for the Nuggets in that series. The second round in just 5 games for the Blazers. They have 5 games, they advance. But rather than chase rainbows and talk about puppy dogs, a lot of people in radio, you listen today, a lot of people in radio and television will be talking all about Damian Lillard. They will be waxing poetic. They'll be massaging Damian Lillard. They'll give him a bubble bath. And he deserves all that. But on this show, that's not how we operate. We know the better story is in the losing locker room. And Oklahoma City has been jettisoned from the NBA playoffs. They have been kicked out. They gone. Now, this was unavoidable. Even if Oklahoma had won this game, they were not going to come back and win this series. But let's discuss what did happen. And anytime a series ends, in professional basketball in particular, but in any sport, we ask a similar question. So this will not be any different than these other times with teams being eliminated from playoff consideration. The question is, how much is Russell Westbrook to blame for the Thunder losing the playoff series. Now, I'm going to be fair here, all right? Because one thing I strive for is accuracy in broadcasting and being completely fair, transparent. I'll be fair. I got a blame pie here. I'm cooking up a blame pie in the oven. So I've got Westbrook at 90%. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. I've got Russell Westbrook at 90% of the blame for Oklahoma City being in this situation. My thoughts, to expand, we have Tarzan, toothpaste, and storybook. And we will combine all of these things together into that blame pie, and we'll cook it in the oven for about 15 minutes, and we'll all have a little slice of the blame pie. But most of it goes to Russell Westbrook. Now, A, Westbrook as the headliner, top of the fold headliner, Broadway show, A number one, this goes with the territory. So you don't feel bad for Russell Westbrook. I don't know anyone that would feel bad for him. He's very unlikable. But when Kevin Durant left, Russell Westbrook became omnipresent for the Thunder. And it was a great mitzvah that Westbrook decided to stay, and people had him going to play for the Lakers. Every player has to go play for the Lakers. Westbrook chose to stay. Oklahoma City, as a gift to Westbrook, as an olive branch, gave Westbrook the LeBron James package. And they did everything they could to accommodate the wishes of Russell Westbrook. They even went out and found him a second star in Paul George. They bent over backwards for Russell Westbrook. And during the regular season, people continue to be mesmerized, the uneducated basketball fan, by the sizzle reel of Russell Westbrook. And they really enjoy that. And in the playoffs, he turns into a paper tiger. And all of the warts are shown in the postseason for Westbrook, and it continues here. Again, this is a classical example of all of the criticism of Russell Westbrook. He has done nothing to change the current away from that. And despite all of this and the franchise bending over backwards, Russell Westbrook does not want to change. He does what he wants during games. Billy Donovan, who I guess is the de facto coach, is powerless to convince Russell Westbrook to adjust his game. You cannot upstage the headliner. And during the regular season, the people that were all fired up and all this stuff about the statistics and all the great numbers and all that, the old phrase that used to be used for the NFL draft, there was this old draft guru when I was a kid, and they were talking about players in the NFL draft. It applies to Russell Westbrook here. Looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane, was the line that was used. And you could add on to that, performance smells like cheetah in the playoffs, right? And that's how it goes. Russell Westbrook in playoff situations, post Kevin Durant, is the term is JAG, which is just a guy. He's just a guy. Look at the numbers. Oklahoma City, since Durant left, has played 16 playoff games. They've lost, out of those 16 games, they've lost 12. They're 4-12 in the playoffs now. It's a .250 winning percentage in the postseason post Kevin Durant. And part B of this happens to be a pernicious situation, because year after year, before you know it, the years start piling up. And before you realize what's happened, Westbrook suddenly becomes old. The Thunder eventually will be wicked bad with Russell Westbrook. And you cannot put the toothpaste back in the tube. Westbrook is not going to evolve his game if he stays in Oklahoma City. This is my position. Right? Westbrook, because he has free reign, right? Why would he? He has been empowered. And, you know, I do respect that he's bullheaded. I'm bullheaded also. But he's not going to change. He's a total mashugana when it comes to this. And he's the big man and all that. He's got the super-duper max. And if you gave him truth serum, Russell Westbrook actually would say, I don't mind this. I actually like this. I'm okay with this. Everything's okay. Yeah, you know, we're really fun during the regular season. I've got my numbers. And what's not to like? Right? I can be the ball hog, I can Bogart the stat sheet, and it's, you know, it's all good. So when you take a step back in playoff situations, this is, again, perfect example. This was set up perfectly on a tee. All I have to do is go up there and whack away, right? playoff situations, end of game, mistake-filled, hot mess. That is Russell Westbrook. He makes dumb plays, often turning the basketball over. He takes horrible shots, and what does that do? It leads to the Thunder coming apart at the seams, which is exactly what happened in this particular game. What's my evidence? All right, the final 3 minutes and 8 seconds, the Portland Trailblazers closed the game out on a 13-2 run. The final eight possessions for Oklahoma City included Russell Westbrook missing not one, not two, but three shots, and in that final eight possessions, he was also called for an offensive foul, a charge. So he missed three shots and had a turnover. Now, to be fair, Paul George also missed a couple of shots, and he had a turnover. But Russell Westbrook is the man, right? He's the man. And this has been the argument against Westbrook that we've made on this show and other people have made, the critics. And it's accurate. You can say, oh, I like Westbrook, but this is an accurate critique of Russell Westbrook in the playoffs. And the Thunder vanish at the end of these games. It's a ship disappearing over the horizon as you lie on the beach, and it's gone. See you later. Right, there you go. Goodbye. Bye-bye, as Dick and Dayton said. Bye-bye, as we like to say. So anyway, all right, So where are we at? You know, this is going to be wash, rinse, repeat as long as Westbrook is in Oklahoma City. Because, again, there's no motivation to change. Why would you change? There's no point in changing because you've got the super-duper max, and they let you do whatever you want. They're, you know, pathetic people. We're so happy to have a star. We don't want to tell him not to do the dumb stuff that's killing us. And so he continues on. Now, last word on this. My advice to the Thunder. You know what you need to do? You need to put Russell Westbrook on the trading block. Now, here's my theory here, all right? My theory is you see what the NBA world would give up for Russell Westbrook, right? You see what Russell Westbrook, his value is, right, for his unique skill set. Now, remember, the Thunder still have Paul George. Not that he's an A star. He's more like a B star. But let some team window shop, kick the tires on Russell Westbrook, and let's see. That would be a wake-up call. So you don't have to trade him per se. That could be the wake-up call right there that could lead to change, the winds of change. This is what's known as the Hail Mary approach. This is what's known as the Hail Mary approach. All right, so you've got that. And so where could Russell Westbrook land in this hypothetical trade scenario? I'm glad you asked. I've already figured it out. See, I've already done that. I'm thinking ahead is what I'm doing. By the way, we will hear from Russell Westbrook. I just found some Russell Westbrook audio, so I'm sending that to Coop right now. That's called multitasking during a Maller monologue. It's called multitasking. Anyway, all right, so I've got Russell Westbrook traded. All right, where could he land? I'm ahead of you here. I worked it all out. I got the storybook transaction. This is perfect for Oklahoma City. It's perfect all the way around. Not for Russell Westbrook, but for everyone else. Here's the trade. You send Russell Westbrook to the Detroit Pistons for Blake Griffin. Straight up. Russell Westbrook for Blake Griffin. Native son, old Oklahoma suitor, returns to Boomer Sooner land. It's Disney-esque. And if you don't give the blessing to that, there's other trade. There's plenty of other opportunities out there. The Oklahoma City Thunder could trade Westbrook to Chicago for Zach LaVine, and Lauri Markkanen. They could make that trade. Bradley Beal for Russell Westbrook and others is a possibility. Minnesota could trade Andrew Wiggins and Robert Covington. They could get Russell Westbrook in Minnesota. And Miami, they overpaid so many players on their roster, guys you've never heard of with generic names like Ryan Anderson and players like that, Justin Winslow. They could trade some of those guys and get Russell Westbrook in return. So there's all that. All right, now, apparently, within the last few minutes here, during the Maller monologue, Russell Westbrook did address the media. He's refused to talk about Barry Trammell, the writer in Oklahoma City, the big columnist there. And I guess that's not – I don't think we can play that audio, actually. I think that's the wrong audio. But tonight, Russell – we do have the update. Tonight, Russell Westbrook – here's what he said after the game. I have the transcripts. I guess I sent the wrong link. Anyway, here's the transcript. So Russell Westbrook told the columnist from the Oklahoman tonight, not really sure as opposed to next question. So he did that again, which is what he did similar last time. And so we're getting this, and we're going to play some of this Russell Westbrook stuff momentarily. It is the Ben Maller Show on Fox. Hold on a second. I'm going to send you something here. Trying to chew gum and walk at the same time, and I don't know that I'm able to do that, to chew gum and walk at the same time, but I'm going to attempt it. All right, so I just sent you. I think this is actually fresh audio, Coop, what I just sent you. So let's see if we can turn that around. So apparently this is a Russell Westbrook quote on how he's going to process the series. This is from a TV station, KFOR-TV in Oklahoma City. So this is a clip of Westbrook on processing the season going kaput.
My process always look at myself first and figure out what I could have done better throughout the whole season to put my team position to be able to win games. That's all I look at and figure out how I can be better, coming back and how I could have did better to help us win the game.
Yeah, and he's wearing, he had a Disney hat on. He had Mickey Mouse on one side and Donald Duck on the other. Well, they've got that new Star Wars thing that's opening up soon at Disneyland, so he probably wants to get there, and he's got plenty of time to go to Disneyland. So there's Russell Westbrook. We have more from Russell Westbrook. We have Paul George also. Paul George, by George, the man that was assigned to stop Damian Lillard. He didn't stop Damian Lillard. Here's Paul George, who's critical of the guy that put up 50 points for the other team.
I mean, that's a bad shot. Care what anybody says, that's a bad shot, but hey, he made it. That story won't be told that it was a bad shot. We live with that.
Now let me explain something to Paul George. Okay,
garbage.
Let me tell you something, Paul, and I know this because I criticize professional athletes for a living. Okay, I've done this for a long time. Let me educate you, Paul George. That is only a bad shot if it doesn't go through the net. The moment that shot goes through the net, the moment the light goes on in the arena and the game is over, that doesn't ever get mentioned as a bad shot. That is an extraordinary shot. That is a showpiece. That is, we use the line magnum opus. That is what that is. That is an oil painting. Okay? That is a stroke of genius. So to say that's a bad shot, the moment it goes in, it is no longer a bad shot. It has been upgraded, okay? It has been upgraded, and so, deal with it. It's emasculating to have a player knock down a game-winning shot from the logo of the arena and then wave goodbye. That's great. Great showmanship. And there you go. All right, so Ben Maller Show on Fox. We say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas, Solid Gold, Garcia. I want to point out, Eddie, multitasking as we were doing
I heard
Russell Westbrook audio.
But that's nothing for you because you and I started at this network way back when we did all kinds of crazy stuff behind the scenes. We were juggling chainsaws, cutting highlights, doing updates.
Yeah.
You laugh, Roberto. It was crazy, man. We had no editors here. We had to do it all ourselves.
We had Chris Lindsley, who's still here, I think. I never see
him.
He lurks in the shadows.
He hides in the grass. But every once in a while, I'll see Lindsley. But yeah, Lindsley was the only editor. And it was so funny because we had the people that worked in the news desk had to do editing, and some of the hosts were complete douchebags, and we'd have these big meetings, and they would call out Lindsley, who was by himself for not getting the 8 highlights from the 8 different games, and Lindsley's blood would be boiling in these meetings. Now, fortunately, all those a-holes are gone, the people that were at those meetings, but it was, I remember sitting near Lindsley at one of those meetings, and he was so upset. He was just...
The one good thing about those shifts back then...
Yeah.
They went by really fast because you were literally doing something every second. Hey, we just had a home run in that Royals game. Okay, I got to go over to the third computer now and go find it and cut it
up. And to be fair, it's much easier now than it was in those days because back in our day, Eddie, it was harder to find necessarily all the stuff. The process has matured to find the audio. The technology has made it much more friendly. But that is great that Russell Westbrook, the final 8 possessions, had 3 missed shots and was called for charging. I think that is...
It's clutch performance.
I think that's just... That's great. Paul George had a turnover. He missed 2 shots in that stretch. So that was a solid a solid stretch for Oklahoma City basketball. It's pretty good. Yeah, not bad at all.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So I was watching the Nuggets, as I was trying to say. I was watching the Nuggets in the Spurs game. I'm flipping around. And the early part of the NBA schedule was just dog food. Brooklyn didn't show up. Orlando didn't show up. They 1-2-3 Cancun. They wasted the fossil fuels and all that to travel to these other locations, these other outposts in the NBA. So then I was like, well, maybe the Nuggets game with the Spurs will be close. And in the first quarter, you know, I'm watching the game. Like, Spurs, they had the lead early on, and the Nuggets took the lead. The Spurs, after that, the rest of the game, never led. After the first quarter, from the start of the second quarter to the end of the game, the San Antonio Spurs trailed by as many as 30 points and never, ever had the lead. And they shot 42% after the first quarter the rest of the way. Not that they shot that well in the first quarter, because they were bad in the first quarter also. They were actually worse than that in the first quarter. So what does this mean? Well, it means that after Jamal Murray went 9 of 16 from the floor, had 4 three-pointers, that the Denver Nuggets, with his 23 points, are now up 3-2 in the opening round of the playoffs. They have to now go on the road. They take their act back to the Alamo for Game 6 on Thursday. And Jamal Murray's got something going. Now, he had a complete dud and just a terrible performance in game number 3 at 6 points in that game. But in the other situations here of late, 3 of the last 4 games, he's had around 25 points, 23, 24 points in these last couple games. He's been great. And so as Jamal Murray goes, so go the Denver Nuggets. And you also look at Nikola Jokic, who fills up the stats a little bit here, a little bit there. He's been doing that all year for Denver, but not the gaudy stats, because you didn't have to play that much because the game was over. There was extended garbage time in this particular game. But the better story is in the losing locker room. San Antonio, there was a stretch in game 2 when the Spurs had that 20-point lead after taking game 1. You're like, this series is over. This series is over. And the NBA media that love to just slobber all over Greg Popovich, slobber, 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 they were just laying it on thick. How much we love Pop. Way to go, Pop. Another masterpiece from Greg Popovich. And now you're like, well, wait a minute. What's going on? This is not very encouraging for San Antonio. It is not at all where they're at right now. So the question, we're going to frame it this way. The question is, what do you make of this particular series with the Nuggets being up 3-2 over San Antonio? Where are you at on this? Now, I have annoyed the Rubicon and the wise guys, and we will mix all of this together into a nice little casserole, and we'll cook it up for you. We'll see how it goes. Now, the initial thought, which in 2 proven wrong, is the proper thought. At this moment, you look at this series and you're thinking, this has to give heartburn to all of those people. If they care, the people on San Antonio, they care, the players and the coaching staff, because they were given the golden opportunity. I just referenced it. Game 1 win, game 2, 20-point lead, you're in great shape, you're feeling pretty good about yourself. That was a brass ring opportunity. They took the brass ring, they dropped it on train tracks, and allowed the locomotive all the way through the long train down to the caboose to ride over the brass ring opportunity. So this is a distressing situation. You got to think that the window of opportunity was right there. Not that the Denver Nuggets are a sleeping giant, because I wouldn't classify them as a sleeping giant. I'm not there yet, but they certainly woke up. They got woke. The Nuggets got woke by San Antonio here. And so it's got to be annoying. I would think you'd be annoyed if you're the Spurs. And Greg Popovich now has to meddle going back to San Antonio. It's the old Psych 101. The Spurs strike me as a fragile team. That is what they strike me as. But in addition to that, more than just being a fragile team, the outsider's opinion of this version of the Spurs is that they are a flawed team, that the uniform says one thing. It's kind of like watching the Yankees right now. The Yankees have a bunch of minor leaguers, but they're wearing the Yankee uniforms. So you're like, wow, it's the New York Yankees. And then you're like, well, who the F's that guy?
I've
never heard of that guy. What's going on? But I look at the Spurs here, and I'm like, well, yeah, some of these guys have had good careers, very productive, LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan. And then you look at a guy like Derek White, who was the hero for one night. And how's he doing now? How'd Derek White do since that performance? How's that going for him? Let's see. He was on the court for 21 minutes while he was out there in this last game. San Antonio was outscored by, 20 points. And he had a terrible game prior to that. So it's not the same mix. And a lot of people it takes time for people to realize that the pendulum has shifted a different direction. That it's not the disciplined, high basketball IQ, Spurs, all those buzz terms that we use about San Antonio. It's not that. You know, it's a Spurs team that going into the final week of the season was dead even with all the other teams at the bottom of the Western Conference playoff race. They were right there as a chess game going down the final couple of games where everyone settled into their final landing spot in the West. Now, the second thing is where are you at with the Nuggets? Now, the Denver Nuggets are feeling pretty good about themselves. They're like, hey, you know, we survived. We got through the hurricane, and now we're feeling pretty good. But the problem is now there's like a tsunami that could be approaching. You say, well, what kind of tsunami could there be? Look at this. It was a fine performance. It was a dominating performance by Denver. And the altitude, who cares about altitude? The Spurs looked like they wanted to go home and go on vacation. That last point, I don't trust the Nuggets is what I'm trying to say. Because you got to cross the Rubicon. And you should be cautiously optimistic. I guess that would be the right term. Cautiously optimistic about the Nuggets. But this, so much of this drama-rama in the NBA. And it's a scenario, when you look at it, it's like, well, it's not that difficult. All the Spurs have to do is win a home game. And then the pendulum shifts back. And you're like, wait a minute. The Nuggets are at home. You're not supposed to lose a Game 7 at home, right? Everyone wins Game 7s at home pretty much in NBA history. And so then all of a sudden the script flips. So while it feels good for the Nuggets, they had to win this game. If they lost this game, then it would have been pretty much game, set, and match. Now, the last word on this, we're going to hear from some of the reaction from the locker room. But the last word on this now, I look at a situation, I look around the NBA, and while I certainly am very confident the people's team, the most popular team in America, the Clippers, will come back against the Golden State Warriors. I feel very good about that on Wednesday night. But if that shouldn't happen and the Utah Jazz roll over and play dead against the Rockets, the NBA is looking like, wait a minute, we got nothing. So this is where, if you're a conspiracy theorist, you say, where are the wise guys? Right? Where are the wise guys? Right? We used to call this a Sopranos special when that show was on. You know, a Sopranos special here. You look at this, you're like, where's Tim Donaghy? Where's his money at? The NBA needs something. They need something dramatic. Now, they got the Damian Lillard shot, but that was, if he missed the shot, big deal. Goes to overtime. Even if Portland lost that game, they still have two more opportunities. Game 7. This is the last hope. Am I wrong on that? The last realistic hope for a Game 7 in the opening round of the NBA playoffs. So if you need that, you've got Game 6 on Thursday, and it would set up for a made-for-prime-time, Saturday night, right? Saturday night extravaganza. The second round starts on Sunday for the Eastern Conference, and then the West could start, I guess, on Monday or Tuesday. I don't know the NBA schedule and all that. But if you're looking at the writing template of the NBA, which uses the same writers of the professional wrestling ranks, and you look at that template and you're looking for the narrative, well, the narrative is Saturday night, back in Denver, right? Talk about a cliffhanger. Who are you going to take, right? The Greg Popovich-led Spurs or the upstart Denver Nuggets at home? Oh, the drama. The story within the story. Oh, my goodness. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show on Fox. Now, Greg Popovich, who's a douche, was being a douche, and you'll hear the question and the answers, and he was asked a very simple question, a basic question, of course, Greg Popovich, being a jerk just like Russell Westbrook decided he wanted to talk about.
Your thoughts, Coach, on the last 5.5 quarters, the Nuggets have pretty much dominated your team in Game 6. What adjustments are you looking to make?
I'm not interested in adjustments right now. Game just ended. Maybe I'll look at the film first.
Maybe you should make more shots. How about that? Maybe make a few more shots, possibly. Here's Popovich. This is a version of a quote we love. My favorite drop, one of my favorite drops, is the John Tortorella, "We sucked at a time you should not suck," which is wonderful. It sums up every athletic contest where a team loses. It's the perfect soundbite, but Greg Popovich, in his own unique way, addressing what the heck happened to the Spurs.
They just outplayed us in every facet of the game. We missed a lot of chippies in the first half. It could have been a much more even game in the first half. We missed a lot at the rim. But I think overall, their competitiveness, they got five threes in the first quarter. They just played well in every way. We've got to have more guys playing well for sure.
We sucked, and we sucked at a time that you can't suck.
So he actually answered that question. We didn't hear the question, but he answered it. So I have a theory. My theory is he liked that reporter that asked the question. He did not like the other reporter, so he buried the other guy, and he answered the question, whoever that person was, probably one of the Spurs beat writers, he answered that question. Uh-huh. All right, what about DeMar DeRozan? Now, he knows about losing in the playoffs from his days in Toronto. Legendarily, pratfalls and face plants and slipping on all kinds of items on the wet floor there in the NBA playoffs. Anyway, DeMar DeRozan took 15 shots. He missed 9 of them. He was terrible in the game like everyone else in the Spurs. So, DeMar DeRozan, sum up your thoughts here on the Spurs in this situation.
Yeah, they came out tonight, did what they were supposed to do. You know, they shifted the momentum. Winning on their home court last game, and we knew they was going to have confidence coming home playing. You know, shake their hand. You know, they beat us down pretty bad. It's all about how we respond Thursday night.
Yeah. Okay, I think we all knew that. Captain Obvious, thank you very much. Captain Obvious, DeMar DeRozan. There was one other quote I saw from Mike Malone, or Michael Malone, the formal Michael Malone, the coach of Denver. He went on a rant. Did we have that? All right. So Michael Malone went on a rant about Greg Popovich. I want to explain why this is so stupid. He's a dumbo. I'm going to explain. But first, let's hear the rant, and then I'll kill him. All right, here we go.
Why is Greg Popovich not in the Hall of Fame? Right, that's something that has to be, like, we talk about it all the time, and, you know, the NBA doesn't have their own Hall of Fame. I know this is not about tonight's game, but how is that guy with 5 world championships not in the Hall of Fame? And you have some of these college coaches who put up big money to help them get in that are in the Hall of Fame. Nothing against the college coaches, but Greg Popovich not being in the Hall of Fame is a damn shame.
All right, let me explain why Mike Malone is a pandering dumbo. The coach of the Nuggets. I'll tell you the answer. The reason Greg Popovich is not in the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame is because he has asked not to be in the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame until he retires from coaching. He has made that request. That's why he's not in the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame, stupid. Why don't you ask him? You're a contemporary coach. You sound like an idiot. You go on this rant. Just get some knee pads next time. My goodness. It's ridiculous. Stop. We say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas Solid Gold Garcia, who's right over there hanging out.
Do they usually elect coaches that are still active into the Hall of Fame?
It's the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame.
They put everyone
in there. Listen, you put a peach basket up when you're like 8 years old, you're qualified to be in the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. That's right. I read that somewhere on the internet.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely. They have all these different Fugazi categories and all that. Have you been to the you wouldn't go to the Pro Basketball. You could be in Springfield, Massachusetts in front of the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame.
I'm not going in.
Yeah, I probably do. If for some reason I was in that circumstance.
No, you would not.
I might walk in.
I don't think you would.
Depends on how much they charge. Are they charging to get in?
I believe it's $24 to get in. I looked it up because Coop asked me a question last week about somebody who should be. Oh, it was Lou Williams.
Is Springfield, Mass, in the Boston area?
No, it's like a two-hour.
No, I won't be going then. No.
You have to fly to Logan. You got to get in a car. You got to drive a couple hours.
That. It's not going to do that.
It's not in the greater Boston area. It's out in the sticks. My grandfather from, that's where he, my mom's dad from Springfield, Massachusetts.
Was that right?
The day, yeah. Found a diploma. My grandmother, I found her high school diploma from like, you know, a million years ago, almost 100 years ago. And I looked up the high school. It doesn't exist anymore. It's an evening high school, called it.
My dad's high school does not exist anymore either.
You think our high schools will go away? I guess all schools just, they vanish eventually. I always thought schools.
Actually, mine doesn't either.
Really?
Your high school doesn't exist, Roberto?
You're not that old, Roberto.
Yeah.
What's up with
that? Bellarmine Jefferson High School in Burbank don't exist no more.
What happened to it?
I don't know. They didn't manage the school right, I guess. And
did they change?
Archdiocese got rid of it.
I gotcha.
No touchy feely going on there.
Nah, I don't know.
Okay. All right. All right.
That doesn't happen in that.
No,
it doesn't happen.
Internet legend. That does not does not take place. It's all embellished. Absolutely. All right. If you want to be part, the number 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. You can be part of the Bafo Sacco program. We're also on Twitter at Ben Maller. That's at Ben Maller. And you can join the festivities there. I feel bad for Rob in Vegas. He's having a late night foodie run. He's very depressed about the certain outcome.
Comfort food, yeah.
Yeah, he's hitting. Well, if you're in Vegas, that's a good spot. There's a lot of restaurants open late. Although I've noticed that not everything's open late. There's every hotel has one restaurant that's open, but a lot of stuff closes down.
Yeah, like the food court, the crappy food in there, that's usually open. Yeah. But all the good stuff, they close eventually.
Same thing about New York.
It's not crappy when you're hammered.
That's true.
Yeah. But it's like the same thing in New York. Like New York, you think, wow, the city that never sleeps. No, that's just a line in a song. The only, you know, you're late at night in New York City. I've been there many times with my brother. You want to get a bite to eat? You're eating a turkey sandwich from a corner deli is what you're doing. That's what you're doing, okay?
Not
that's
even a pizza place? Are they open?
There's a few
hours?
But there's a lot. Most of them close. Now, when I needed a late night foodie run back before I became a person that lives a starvation diet during the week, but I would hit Tommy's in Hollywood. That would be my spot here in L.A. Tommy's late night chili burgers. I loved it. It's probably the reason I became morbidly obese, but I enjoyed every bite of those delicious cheeseburgers. Chili cheeseburgers, delicious.
I hardly have Tommy's, but when I do have Tommy's, I feel terrible for like about a week.
Oh yeah, it hits you right in the gut.
And yet you'll go back again, won't you?
Yeah, I'm probably going back in about 2 months.
It's the equivalent from a burger perspective, like when you're a kid and you eat ice cream and you get that brain freeze, and then as soon as it goes away, you're right back. You're like, I want more of that. Give me
it
more.
It won't
of
happen
that.
Again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When that
it was a fluke.
When that chili cheeseburger hits your gut and you feel it right, and you're like, oh my god, this is going to be really bad to get out of my body, but then a couple days later, boy, that was really delicious. That was really, really good, and I'd like to have more. I'd like to have more of that.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. No. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Just fail me, Coop. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You failed
it. Yeah. You get nothing? That's it? I get nothing?
I mean, do you want me to do Maller to the 1 degree?
Yeah, Maller to 1 degree. Let's do Maller to 1 degree.
All right. In response to Dave Gettleman implying that Odell Beckham Jr. was creating a culture problem, OBJ kind of agreed with him and said that he's a cancer to a place that's okay with losing. Ben, do you think the cancer Beckham brings is in full remission?
No, Odell Beckham is not the problem, and the Giants are still screwed up, right? Hey, Dave Gettleman, who again sounds like he should be selling air conditioners, Dave Gettleman and the Giants catering to Elijah Manning, that is the cancer. That's the tumor, and the Giants continue to employ Elijah Manning. He's holding them hostage, and the Giants, they have a bunch of people around the organization who are afraid to challenge Eli Manning, and distractions. Oh, the perceived distractions, boogeyman. Stop. It's silliness. And B, Odell Beckham is your typical diva receiver. He's not any more outrageous than any other diva receivers. He didn't tear down the Giants. It's all revisionist history. In fact, he has been the most exciting player they've had in recent years. And in his own words, cancer only on a team that's okay with losing. I'm with Team Beckham. How do we do, Coop?
You fail.
That is a win. First
you
one question win
nothing.
Of all time.
You lose.
What?
Good day, sir.
Blame Antonio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Attention, everyone.
And the password is... Password. You idiot. Password, the word game of the stars. Here's Ben Maller.
And away we go. It is time for Password. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. You got a motorcycle? Geico's got you taken care of. They got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. And there's so much more Geico could help with. Plus, don't forget the discounts. Go to geico.com today to see how much you could save. That's geico.com. Let's meet our contestants. First of all, from the Alamo City, where the Spurs got curb stomped by the Nuggets in Denver last night, Joe in San Antonio. Hello, Joe.
Thank you for having me, Ben. We'll be fine next year. Anyway.
Oh, next year? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to say I forgive you.
Why do you forgive me? What are you talking about?
You didn't wish me a happy birthday yesterday.
I don't do birthday shout-outs. I'm not going to wish you a happy birthday. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah,
I'm not. I don't want you to have a great birthday. I don't. I don't want you to have a fun birthday week. That's why I'm letting you play the game, because I don't want you to have a fun week, because you're going to lose.
Happy birthday, you old man.
Unless you pick me, Joe. And then.
Yeah, I'm gonna play with you, Ben.
No, don't do that. Don't play with Eddie or Roberto or Coop or something like that. Don't play with me.
No, it's you and me, baby.
Schmuck. I know what he's going to do. He's going to sabotage the game. Tony, are you there, Tony? You want to play Tony in St. Paul?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, buddy. What do you do for a living? Joe drives a truck. What do you do for a living, Tony?
Machine operator.
Machine operator man, Tony. All right, very cool. Who do you want to play with, Tony? Apparently I'm out. You've got Eddie, Roberto, or Coop.
Let's go.
Yeah. Eddie Garcia, that is the matchup. Okay, this is an old school matchup. We have a list of words, 1 to 10. We don't have a lot of time, so let's get right to it. Joe, pick a number 1 to 10.
I'm going to say 6.
Number 6. All right, let's go with support.
Believe.
Nah. Eddie.
All right, Tony. Ben said support. My clue for you is root.
Root.
Support.
Take your time, Tony.
Root.
Take your time, Tony. Don't mind the show and the fact that we're running into a brick wall.
Friend.
All right. Friend. That's a terrible answer. Let's go with... Joe, let's go with clap. Oh, come on. Really?
Applaud?
No. Back to Eddie we go. It's password for idiots.
Who picked these words?
You did. You picked the number, actually. You picked number 6.
So we had support, root, clap, applaud. Wrap it all together. Let me give you a spectator.
Audience.
No. All right, we're going to throw the word out.
Yep.
We were trying to get cheer. Cheer. You're up, Eddie. Number 6 is out. I'm going to have a scoreless game. Go ahead, Eddie.
Tony, 1 through 10, but not 6.
We're number 7. All right. Even
seven.
Better. Boy, it gets even better.
Tony, the password is speculation.
What are we doing? 7? Oh, no, eight.
No, we're doing 7.
Are we doing 7?
Oh, okay.
Speculation. Thought.
What? All right, let's go with estimate. Estimate. Come on, Joe! Come on!
Yeah!
Yeah, there we go! That's it, Eddie! I won the game!
That's over.
Happy birthday to you! Joe's the big winner! Another password winner!
Got a murder, gotta go!
I won't brag about this one, though.